Mark Biggs has brought with him a 2002 media production grad from MSU, Randall Moore, and an electronic arts graduate from 03 here at MSU, Brandon Kerr, and they're on campus to screen Randall Moore's documentary Evidence of Harm, a documentary film exposing the dangers of mercury dental fillings, among other things. And the screening is tomorrow night at 7 in Plaster Student Union Theater, and part of the MSU film series, the first presentation, I guess, for the spring semester. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's fun to show films that students, former students, have made. This is going to be a really interesting event as well, just from a public health point of view. A real hot topic, especially for the American Dental Association, the issue of toxic metals in amalgam fillings. So anybody that has a filling in their mouth might find this to be of interest. It's certainly pertinent and germane.
And I don't think people think about this as being a problem so much anymore, but some people do have fillings in their mouths that are many, many years old. And if you need to get them replaced, actually, I guess is the main message here. Well, Randall, how did this idea for this documentary come about?
So a number of years ago, my father had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and he came to live with me and my family. And over the next couple of months, it really just drove home to me. I could not wrap my head around what had happened to my dad, seeing him change so much.
Right.
And so I went looking for answers. You know, I wanted to know, well, how did this come about? What maybe contributed to this? And as I started searching the scientific literature, I found studies that linked mercury, a neurotoxin, to Alzheimer's disease. So, but at that point, I knew my dad didn't eat a lot of fish. You know, he was with us all the time. We watched what he ate. We were around him all the time.
So he didn't get it from fish,
right,
necessarily.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So I thought, well, where might he be getting this mercury exposure from? And so then I found the World Health Organization in 1991 and 2003 had examined the issue. And what they say is that the largest contributor or the largest exposure to mercury comes from these amalgam dental fillings. And there's about 120 million people in the U.S. alone that have these fillings.
Right.
So it's a substantial portion of our population. And
did you definitively establish that your father had high levels of mercury in his system?
He had a mouthful of mercury fillings throughout most of his life.
That would basically...
Yes, yes. I mean,
tell the
these
tale.
Are these mercury fillings, the silver fillings. They're continually off-gassing mercury vapor, and if anything that, so if you're chewing food, more mercury comes off. If you're drinking hot coffee, more mercury comes off.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a real problem.
So what? How is the film constructed? I guess you are chronicling lives of what, three people?
Three people are covered in the film. Interestingly enough. So at the outset of this, I thought that the biggest sell was that mercury was connected to Alzheimer's disease. But what I ended up finding out was that in the process of taking these mercury fillings out, because they only last so long, they last about 8 years, in the removal process, that's exposing the patient and the staff to enormous amounts of mercury. And our film is the first film ever to visually demonstrate this. So mercury vapor, it's invisible, it's colorless, it's odorless, and so the dentist and the dentist assistants don't know that they're being exposed. But we found a biochemist that had had figured out a way to visualize this, and so we have that in the film. And at the same time, we had a company come in and do the measurements, and they were hundreds of times higher than evacuation limits.
And the fact that these fillings exist not only puts patients and dental staff at danger, but I guess the global environment as a whole. Because how are these fillings disposed of?
Well, since dentists think that they're totally safe in your mouth, most of them don't understand that it's also a hazard to the environment.
Mm.
But there was an international treaty that the U.S. had started and that we signed and ratified, called the Minamata Convention on Mercury. And what that aimed to do was reduce the amount of mercury that goes out into the environment. And the dental sector contributes about 340 tons of mercury to the environment each year through these mercury fillings.
And that doesn't sound like a huge amount, but as toxic as the stuff is, any little bit can be
very
dangerous.
About 50% of the mercury in our wastewater comes from mercury dental fillings. So while it might not sound like a lot on a global scale, it impacts local communities quite a bit.
All right. You directed and basically created this documentary, and Brandon Kerr was a producer on the film and its visual effects coordinator. Now, what did that involve in the production of this film?
Well, initially, it was more support for, you know, getting the story out and pushing him to do the project. We actually
did it take much pushing?
It took a lot of convincing. My first 2 years, I spent interviewing scientists because I couldn't wrap my head around that somebody would allow this to happen, to have something so toxic placed in people's mouths. And so it took a lot of convincing to get over the hump of, wow, this is an actual real thing that's happening to people.
And then also, you know, a lot of students can, I mean, I were talking to Mark Biggs about this earlier, they use crowdfunding to do their projects. And,
right.
and that's kind of how we started this project. So visual effects up front, we did a trailer. We took a lot of this information, made a visually interesting trailer to put out there for our crowdfunding. It was a Kickstarter campaign. And so we raised quite a bit of money that way, and that was kind of my contribution to this project. I own a visual post-production house, and I just took my time to create that and then raise money for the project itself.
I would like to point out one of the things that's interesting about this project to me is not only the content, but the form. People come to a documentary film with certain predispositions about what truth should be or how truth should be portrayed. Many times there's a sense that a documentary should be a piece of journalism where the author is not vested in the content or the expression of that content.
That's actually very rare for documentary production, isn't it?
Actually,
really?
It's in the historical vein of documentary that documentaries like this one are expressions of the author's perceptions and experience with reality.
Advocacy.
They're not a mirror image of reality. They are the experience of that reality. And that's been creating, I think, some interesting controversy around your film from at least the critical community, saying this film doesn't really look like a documentary. It has these fictional aspects that are incorporated into it. I, on the other hand, find that to be liberating from a documentary filmmaker's point of view.
What fictional aspects?
Well, visual effects.
Yeah, I think it's more
B-roll footage.
Yeah, what we talked about up front was making this visually interesting for people to want to watch it. If it's not entertaining, you're not going to get anybody's attention.
Right.
And that's why we spent the time. And that's kind of what our background is, was, you know, going in and doing, you know, entertainment type of media. So we took that angle on it to try to get it to look as professional and be interesting enough to keep people's attention to then get the message.
Right.
And that conveyed and carried over into your decision to say, let's follow just three people's stories but really get to know them rather than just have a succession of talking heads presenting facts and we'll make a rational decision. This is an emotional issue at some fundamental level, and people have said to me over many years of documentary interviews, people react and act upon their emotional response to an issue, not upon their rational decision-making power. So you've got to move the audience as well as inform them. And I find that pretty interesting that conversation is still going on, especially in L.A. and New York, about how a documentary that has elements that really capture the emotional moment is somehow suspect. And so I think, A, come out and see this film because it is about a very substantive issue that affects many of us. Come out and see this film because it is visually interesting to watch. Come out and see this film because a couple of filmmakers, Missouri filmmakers who went to school here, made this film as an act of love through incredible odds and obstacles. And really come and see for yourself and see how it you react to the film.
And there will be, of course, a talkback session after the film. How long does the piece run?
It's 80 minutes right now.
Okay, so then you'll After that, you'll have a, it starts at 7, you'll have a talkback session following that, right. And no doubt, well, or I would hope, I would imagine that you would hope for a lot of questions.
Well, I would, and I've outreached to the dental community. I've, you know, sent out over 30 emails to the local dental society and local dentists trying to get them out. One of the main things that we found is that during that removal process, because those exposure levels are so high, dentists are really on the front line. And I took a lot of time to craft the film to where it wouldn't be antagonistic towards dentists. And I feel like I've succeeded in that because I truly feel that they don't know that the risk they're at. And so I try to invite them out. It's not an antagonistic approach. You know, I'd love them to come out and ask questions. So if anybody has a dentist that they'd like to see this, you know, would love for them to come.
Now, this will be available free and open to the public.
It is indeed, yes.
And it is on, well, it's Saturday night. It's tomorrow night, starting at 7 p.m. in Plaster Student Union Theater. And for information, you can visit mjf.missouristate.edu, the Media Journalism and Film Department's webpage, or call 836-5247.
Or email me at markbiggs@missouristate.edu.
That's B-I-G-G-S, markbiggs@missouristate.edu, and Mark will tell you what you want to know about the film, and maybe more than you want to know about the film.
Where to park, how to get there, all those good things.
Right. Plaster Student Union Theater tomorrow night starting at 7, 80-minute documentary, Evidence of Harm, Exposing the Dangers of Mercury-Filled Dental Fillings, plus a talkback session afterwards with the filmmakers Randall Moore and Brandon Kerr. Gentlemen, thanks for being here
Great.
This morning.
Thanks.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
For having us.